It's good to be in the Lord's house with you again today. It's good to celebrate the birth of Jesus. We are in the season of Christmas. Christmas isn't over yet. There are 12 days of it, and this is day number 6. That's kind of how the calendar works out. Christmas starts on December 25, even though our culture celebrates it for a month or two or three before. But it starts December 25th, and then we've got those fabled 12 days of Christmas, which are really just the days between Christmas and Epiphany, which is next Sunday. Turns out January 6th, the next big church holiday, where we celebrate the arrival of the wise men, the Magi, who represent all nations coming to worship the newborn king. And so next week we'll think about the Epiphany, but today we're thinking about the childhood of Jesus. There is one story from the New Testament that tells something about Jesus as a child. And that story is the sermon text for today. Before I read that story from Luke 2, I'd like to read another passage. You can never have too much scripture in your life. So here is another reading from the Old Testament. This from the Old Testament prophet Isaiah, chapter 11. A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots a branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of power, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. And he will delight in the fear of the Lord. He will not judge by what he sees with his eyes, or decide by what he hears with his ears, but with righteousness he will judge the needy. With justice he will give decisions for the poor of the earth. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, with the breath of his lips he will slay the wicked. Righteousness will be his belt, and faithfulness the sash around his waist. The wolf will live with the lamb, the leopard will lie down with the goat, the calf and the lion and the yearling together, and a little child will lead them. Isaiah wrote those words hundreds of years before they found their fulfillment in Jesus, and it's to this child now that we turn our attention as we look at the sermon text for this day, which is Luke chapter 2. Verses 41 through 52. Every year, Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the feast of the Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went up to the feast according to the custom. After the feast was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. But they were unaware of it. Thinking he was in their company, they traveled on for a day. Then they began looking for him among the relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." "Why were you searching for me?" he asked. "Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he was saying to them. Then he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. But his mother treasured all these things in her heart. And Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Lord Jesus Christ, as we reflect on this passage together, help us to be in awe of your answers and your wisdom and your guidance. Speak a new word to us this day and help us to know your presence, which transforms lives. It's in your name that we pray these things. Amen. Jesus grew in stature, in wisdom, in favor with God and men. This is very reminiscent of another story of a child that we have just heard, the story that Maggie read for us about the boy Samuel. Luke is interweaving the stories of Samuel and Jesus throughout the telling of the birth and childhood of Jesus. And this is very intentional on Luke's part, to include stories of Jesus' childhood. The other Gospels don't. Matthew, Mark, and John have no stories of Jesus as a child at all, with the exception of Matthew's birth narrative. There's no childhood story anywhere else in the Gospels. But Luke includes this for a specific reason, and it's to show that the character and the personality traits of Jesus as an adult are already there when he's a child. This is a really common literary technique from Middle Eastern literature of 2,000 years ago, when people would write stories of heroes or of people that were worthy of emulation. They would often include a childhood narrative that shows some of the same characteristics that would show up later in that person's story as an adult. Jesus is already the kind of person that we need to learn from and imitate, even as a 12-year-old child. And when we read this story, a lot of the times we make a lot of the parents' actions and maybe their negligence, and we think, oh, Mary and Joseph, you should have kept a shorter leash on your boy and not let him run off. And we kind of point fingers at the parents. What kind of parents are they to put their child at this risk? How could they forget about this child, especially, you know, with the kind of importance that his arrival came with, and the announcements and the angels and all of this stuff? You would think they would pay pretty close attention to this kid day in and day out. But the story is not about Mary and Joseph and their parenting skills. The story is not about them at all. The story is about Jesus and his orientation of life, how he is moving in his life in contrast to his parents, what he believes to be important in contrast to what his parents and apparently everybody else thinks is important. There are so many things in our lives that become important to us that only serve to distract us from God's presence and God's wisdom. There are so many distractions, things that we think are crucial, things that we think are the most important in the whole world, that cause us to miss opportunities for spiritual conversations and spiritual growth. Think about what Jesus does in this story, what priorities he shows for his own life, even at just 12 years old. He shows a desire to engage in spiritual conversations with people, to talk about important and meaningful and deep things. Not just with his peers, but with his elders, with people who are wiser than he is at 12 years of age. He asks questions. He seeks wisdom. He knows that he belongs in his father's house, meaning in the temple, the place where God was understood to dwell, and the place where the community of God's people gathered to dwell with God. Jesus knows that he belongs with God and with God's people. But you might say, well, this is Jesus. He's the Son of God. He already is there. He doesn't have to learn much. He has all wisdom in the world. He is from of old. He is the one who was never created but was born of a virgin and is eternal God of eternal God. So what's the big deal? Can we imagine that Jesus had something to learn from his elders? Can we imagine that those intergenerational relationships might have shaped Jesus' life and even his ministry a couple of decades down the road? Can we imagine that Jesus might have been influenced by the wisdom of his teachers? What kinds of questions might 12-year-old Jesus have asked? It's fascinating to consider. But we're left to wonder a lot of things about this story and the encounter that Jesus has with the leaders in the temple there. What is clear from this story, though, is that Jesus is a seeker of wisdom. He is a seeker in community. He is willing to participate in conversations about spiritual things with a desire to learn and to grow. I have seen this kind of desire to learn and to grow among our youth over the past 2.5 years that I've been working with them on a regular basis. Since Pastor Jerry retired back in 15, boy, the years move by fast, don't they? Something like that, 16, 15? I don't remember. 16, Linda says. All right, 2016. Yeah, in the 2.5 years since then, I can do math, I've had the chance to sit with our youth and listen to their questions. In fact, the first 2 years that we did this, we worked on a curriculum that was two volumes, one volume and the second, both volumes titled, Can I Ask That? And the theory behind this curriculum is that, yes, you can ask whatever questions you have, and we need to create a space where there's a safe environment for you to ask whatever kinds of spiritual questions you have. Even questions as meaningful as, does God exist? Or how do I know that God loves me? Or anything along those lines. Questions that all of us ask, and ask repeatedly through the course of our lives. And questions especially that teenagers ask on a pretty frequent basis. What I found in those 2 years of study with them is that those questions are in there. And given that opportunity, by in there I mean they're inside our students, and given the opportunity to give voice to those questions, they really found it to be a meaningful experience to express those deepest questions, even though we weren't able to answer all of them with perfect clarity. Asking the question sometimes is the most important thing to do. Asking the right question is maybe even more important. This year, we've run out of the Can I Ask That curriculum. So this year, we're doing something a little bit different. But even in this first semester, our students have engaged with the material and with Scripture and are asking deep questions of faith. From the first couple of weeks back in September, I was amazed at their readiness to dig into what spiritual life should be all about. So I'm excited for their future and their present. I'm excited for another group of people that have approached me in a somewhat different context. Many of you know Virginia Hilliard. She's the niece, almost said nephew, the niece of Ann and Kim Owen. I only said nephew because I only have nephews. I don't have nieces, so that's the word that comes to mind. But she's not here today, but she usually sits kind of over that direction. And she's been part of our congregation for a long time. She's grown up here. But she is in her 20s. She's aged out of our youth program and is doing the adult thing now, working, living, you know, doing what adults learn to do. And she has realized a need for a community of her own. She wants to sort of get the gang back together again. And so she has been the convener of a group of 20-somethings, for lack of a better word, of people in her circle that want to engage with spiritual conversations and want to find God in the midst of their everyday lives. And she reached out to me and asked me to meet with them. So I've met with them a couple of times. It's a little bit slower going because adult life is busy, right? Teenage life is busy too, I get that. I hear that coming from our students. It gets busier. It's just the way things are. So that's a work in progress, but I'm hopeful for that it will be a group of connecting, a group of people who are seeking in community to find God in their midst. At the beginning of today's service, JR mentioned the spiritual formation group for the Doctor of Ministry work that I've been doing. That's another place, another group of people that are seeking in community. Starting almost a year ago, at the beginning of this present year, we began meeting regularly, once a month through January, February, and March. And then in addition for the training exercises, the training sessions that we had for the spiritual practices that we learned and motioning out toward the fellowship hall, that's where those meetings took place. So we had many opportunities to gather and to discuss spiritual topics, spiritual growth, spiritual formation. And that was a wonderfully meaningful experience for me, and I believe for the others who were part of that group as well. Sidebar, since J.R. mentioned the dissertation and the paper and all of that, this is since he mentioned it. It's been printed out. It's 210 pages long, single-spaced, 1.5-inch margins on the left. All the rules, you know, I've tried to follow all the rules. And I've taken the copies down to Anderson, where the university is. My parents live there. Tara and I visited my folks over the Christmas week. And I left the copies there. My dad is going to deliver them to the librarian on the 2nd of January this week, because I'm not there. So the librarian's going to, you know, do her thing and make sure everything is really the way it should look and all the format is right and everything. And then on the 15th of January, 2 weeks from this Tuesday, I'll be down in Anderson one more time for what they call the defense of the dissertation, which is a kind of a presentation / Q&A time. That'll happen. Hopefully it'll all, there'll be, you know, cannons of confetti let out and streamers. I'm picturing this in my mind's eye. And then I'll come back. And then after that, the only other trip that I'll need to make to Anderson for this program is in May to graduate. So it's coming really close to the end. That's the sidebar. I can tell you more about that later. But all of that is there because of this group of people that came together, J.R. and Deanne and Jeanette and Anne and Ron, who came together and said, we want to be part of this experience, to share this moment, to share this life, to discuss spiritual things with each other and with you, and to learn what God has for us. And I think it was a really beautiful time. When we think of Jesus as a 12-year-old, staying behind in the temple, being in community with other people and listening and asking questions and learning and amazing the crowd with his own answers, it's the same picture of people intentionally gathering together for community to talk about what God is doing in their lives. I think it's a critical component of our spiritual health, to be in conversation with others, to be rooted in Scripture, and to be rooted in the presence of God. Spiritual growth does not happen by accident. It doesn't happen automatically. It takes place in people who seek. It doesn't happen through the fulfillment of ritual obligations or weekly church services. This isn't it. This is part of it. Spiritual growth, spiritual formation takes place in people who willingly pursue wisdom in community with other pilgrims, other seekers, in the context of an active religious life. You may have noticed that New Year's Eve is tomorrow. You might be aware of that. And it's this time of year when we often think about New Year's resolutions. And if I were standing here a month from now, which I will be, I would say it's the time of year when we forget about all those New Year's resolutions. They're usually here today and gone by, you know, mid-January. But here's an idea for a resolution for 2019. Let one of your resolutions for 2019 be that it will be a year of spiritual growth for you. Regardless of your age, whether you're 12 or 5 or 105 or anything in between, let it be one of your goals to grow spiritually. So what would that look like? Get involved in conversations with others. Ask questions. Can you ask that? Yes, and you should. Whatever question is in your heart, you can and should ask it in the context of people who are seeking wisdom with you. Listen for answers. Offer your own answers to other people's questions. See the world from another person's point of view. Pay particular attention to people who are in a different generation from you. People who are in your generation typically kind of see the world more or less the same way that you do, most of the time. But people in a different generation, older or younger, will see things very differently from you a lot of the time. So pay particular attention to those who are different from you in some significant way. Young people have a lot to learn from their elders, but this story about young Jesus shows that even older people can be surprised every once in a while. So in 2019, live like Jesus, not like Mary and Joseph. Set aside fear and stress and anxiety. Step away from the rush of obligations and duties and crowds. Yes, the responsibilities we have are important. Yes, life is busy. But take time to pursue wisdom and spiritual formation in the coming year. This story concludes by saying that Mary treasured all of these things in her heart. Mary, the mother of Jesus, treasured all of this stuff in her heart. She pondered everything in her heart. And this is exactly what Luke had said just a little bit earlier in this same chapter after the shepherds had visited baby Jesus. Now, a dozen or so years later, she takes more time to ponder, to meditate, to think on the things that had happened in her life. So make a habit of that. Treasure, ponder, meditate on spiritual things in your heart in the midst of your everyday life. And even Willie, one of our favorite puppets, illustrates this lesson for us too. When we feel the least valuable, when we feel like we have nothing to offer, when we have no gifts to provide, when God hasn't given us anything, when we're feeling really low, sometimes we just need to stop and listen to the wisdom of other people. Be a seeker in community. Willie couldn't do it on his own. Jesus needed to be in community too. And so we should as well. Let's pray together. God, we give you thanks that you have seen fit to draw us into community with each other. As we approach a new year, help us to be optimistic for what this year might bring and for the growth that we might experience in it. We do not know what this next year will hold any more than we knew a year ago what this past year has held. And as difficult as this past year has been for many of us in many different ways, we have known that you have been present through it all. And we know that your wisdom far exceeds our understanding. Help us to continue to seek for your truth and your wisdom and your love. Help us to see the world as you see it and to live as you would have us to live. As seekers of truth in community, we thank you for the example of Jesus, even at a young age, who demonstrated this for us, and we ask that you would make it real in our lives as this new year begins. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.